You want to turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And you can imagine the Apostle Paul being chained to a Roman guard in a dim prison apartment. And even though he's in jail and in those bonds, he's able to write to the Ephesian believers about spiritual warfare and the armor of God. And we're getting to the end of his letter. And again, he could have asked for many things. He did ask for prayer, but to me, if I'm in jail, I'm asking pray to get me out of here. But again, we can realize what the Apostle Paul is going through, and I think we can learn so much from him in this passage. So if we look at 18 verse 20, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul's request for boldness comes at the very tail end of teaching on the armor of God. Again, he reminded the Ephesians that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things. The Christian life is a spiritual battle, and we went through that the last couple weeks. Talking about being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God supplies the spiritual armor. After listing the armor, Paul continues in verse 18 with prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is not an afterthought. If we want the armor of God, if we want an easier life, prayer is a must. It's an integral part of the spiritual warfare. It's a part of the renewing of our mind. It's our victory over sin. We don't put on the armor of God once and say, okay, we're good to go. It's a daily thing. Paul here says to pray at all times and with all perseverance. Again, you can look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is another passage that he talks about prayer. 5:17, pray without ceasing. And again, never stopping. Never stopping that prayer. Pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And the Apostle Paul exemplified this, frequently mentioning how he always prayed for the saints. If you go through his Gospels and his books that he wrote, he's always praying for the saints. And he's urging the believers to make prayer a habit. It's not just for our own needs, it's for the needs of others. And here he specifically tells us how we should pray. He says to pray in the Spirit. This means our prayers are offered in dependence on the Holy Spirit's help and aligned with God's will. And I'm going to tell you, 90% of my prayers are probably selfish and not relied on the Holy Spirit. I know what I want. I don't need the Spirit to tell me. I know what I want. But that's not what the Holy Spirit wants. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not the Lord's will. We need to pray in the Spirit. Paul adds in verse 19, he says, pray and for me. He's telling them to pray for him. And like I said, I think if I was in this situation, I know what I would be asking for. I don't want to be in this rotten jail cell. I don't want to be stuck here. I'm complaining. I'm miserable. I'm mad. I'm angry. But the Apostle Paul said, pray for me. Not for personal comfort, not for release from the jail cell, but that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So he begins here, utterance may be given to me. Paul knows he needs God's enablement to speak as he should. He's asking for wisdom. He's asking for guidance. He's asking for the right words. That utterance opportunities to proclaim the message. And we look at the Apostle Paul and we think he has it all together and he knows what he's doing, but he's still asking for prayer because he's no different than you or I. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. It's just a page or two over after Philippians. Colossians 4, verse 3, he says, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." We need to pray for a God-given opportunity, opening, utterance to share the gospel, to speak the truth. It continues on in the same passage. It says that I may open my mouth boldly. That Greek word for boldly carries the idea of freedom to speak openly, plainly, and without fear. Paul wanted to declare the gospel fearlessly and with clarity. Paul's top priority was that to fulfill his ministry faithfully, and even if it meant remaining in jail. To make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul saw himself as a steward of the divine secret that was revealed to him. And he continues on to say, "Of which I'm in bonds." He's an ambassador for the gospel. You know, this is not our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are on foreign soil here. Paul was physically in Roman custody, but he viewed himself as under Christ's higher authority, sent to represent heaven's message. But first, we're going to look at that word, the mystery of the gospel. When we see that word mystery, it's not something that whodunit, a mystery novel. In Paul's epistle, a mystery refers to a divine secret that was kept hidden in ages, but now revealed by God to the Apostle Paul. It's a truth that had been concealed in God's plan until the proper time. Paul uses this term frequently, the revelation that he received from the risen Christ. It was not made known unto them until now. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at a lot of the facets of the mystery of the gospel. We won't tackle them all, but I think it's important to see. He puts it in the middle of the book of Ephesians, and then at the very end, he talks about the mystery of the gospel. But in Ephesians 3, 1, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Again, he's talking about him being in prison. "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Again, part of that in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So again, this secret was hidden in past ages, but now revealed to the Apostle Paul. Look at Romans 16, 25. Romans 16, 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." It is now revealed to the Apostle Paul. It was hidden in past ages, but now revealed. Hidden from ages and generation, but is now revealed. The mystery of the gospel was only revealed to the Apostle Paul. That's where we got to get our marching orders. Ephesians 3:9. To me, the motto of Grace Bible Church is out there hanging on the wall. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. One of those mysteries is one new body. Before, the nation of Israel was God's chosen people, and now they no longer are. They are still, they will be favored in the future again, and they will have a plan in the future. But today it is the body of Christ. Jew and Gentile are united. The mystery gospel centers on the formation of the church, which is the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can start with 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. There is neither Jew nor Greek. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Another part of that mystery is salvation by grace through faith. It's not a part of the law. It's apart from the law. It has nothing to do with the law. Look at Romans chapter 3. We touched on it a little bit in Sunday school, but Romans chapter 3. And there's so many verses we could go to. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So a new righteousness is now revealed without the law, separate from Israel's covenant, separate from the Mosaic law. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Again, that distinction is gone between Jew and Gentile. We are one in Jesus Christ. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are all justified freely by His grace. There's no law that I can fulfill. There's nothing I can do. I can never be good enough. I can't live by the law and receive salvation. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Christ's blood is the propitiation, satisfying God's justice, making both God just and the justifier. 27 and 28, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We are under the age of grace, the gospel of the grace of God. The mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have salvation. It's totally different. You have the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the circumcision. The gospel of the circumcision was to Israel. The gospel of the uncircumcision is to the Gentiles. In the body of Christ, we have a heavenly calling and destiny. It's another aspect of the mystery gospel, that the body of Christ is given a heavenly position and hope. The contrast is that Israel's is an earthly kingdom that will be set up later on down the road. And it is a physical, earthly kingdom. In summary, the mystery of the gospel is the good news of this present dispensation of grace. That through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, God is forming the body of Christ. It was something that was never revealed. If you go back to the Old Testament, if you go back to the Gospels, you cannot find the body of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You can find Jesus prophesying that he's going to go to the cross and die, but Peter and the 12 say it's not going to happen, and they argue with him because they can't allow that information to be out. Otherwise, Satan would have never crucified the Lord of glory. If you ever want to distinguish two things in the Word of God, most importantly is between what was prophesied and what is mystery. Dispensations are good, and we can go deeper into that and really dissect the Word of God, but you want to dissect between prophecy versus mystery. Throughout the Word of God, throughout Scripture, you have two distinct programs unfolding, and you have the prophetic program, which is focused on Israel and the earth. And you have the mystery program, which is focused on the body of Christ and heaven. Look at Acts chapter 3:21. Acts chapter 3:21. Acts 3:21 says, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." The word prophecy or prophesy means a foretelling. It's telling what's going to happen. It's preaching the word of God. Here in Acts 3:21, it says this has been going on since the world began. And we already read it. You don't have to turn there. But Romans 16:25 says the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So we have a contrast there. We have a difference. The mystery was kept secret until revealed to the Apostle Paul. And the things of prophecy with the nation of Israel was revealed through the Old Testament. You have Israel and the earthly kingdom versus the church in heavenly position. Israel is God's chosen nation. They're promised a kingdom on earth. And that Old Testament is filled with promises of Israel's future glory in their land under Messiah's rule. The body of Christ we have seated in the heavenlies. And we could go on and on and on. The tribulation is part of the nation of Israel's wrath. And the church is going to be raptured away before that happens to separate us from the exemption from wrath. We looked at law versus grace. This is all part of the mystery of the gospel. Paul asked for prayer and support at this time. He wanted the boldness to witness. It's not something that we're born with. I don't think we're born with a boldness to go share the gospel. It's something we have to build up. It's something we have to have the willpower. It's a God-given talent if we ask the Lord for it. Throughout the book of Acts, we find believers time and time again praying for boldness and God responding. We need to challenge ourselves to ask for that boldness. And here at the end of Ephesians chapter 6, that boldness has to do with the mystery comes from God and through the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's just human bravery. It's not just our power, but it comes from the might and power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul also calls himself an ambassador for the gospel. Each and every one of us are an ambassador for the Lord. He was an ambassador in bonds. We have it easy. We're an ambassador in freedom. We can do what we want. We can say what we want. We can share the gospel at any time. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Probably all have it memorized, but we'll read it. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." We need to pray for boldness and opportunities. Again, the Apostle Paul says, here's the armor of God. He says, pray about the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. And pray that you have the utterance, the opportunities. Be bold to share the mystery of Christ. To share the mystery of the gospel. That we're fearless. Preach the word. Pray for missionaries. Pray for evangelism. Pray for yourself. Pray that people hear the word of God. He will give you opportunities. My grandfather is 93 years old, and he still prays each and every day for the Lord to give him an opportunity to share the gospel. The Lord will give you a chance and an opportunity if you ask. The entire book, Ephesians chapter 6, is a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle. And we have to remember that when we step out to share the gospel, it's not going to be easy. We'll encounter resistance, maybe discouragement or opposition from the world. But God has provided the armor, everything that we need. Stand in the truth of God's word, which is the belt of truth. Rest in Christ's righteousness, the breastplate. Be ready to share the gospel of peace, the shoes. Keep trusting God's promises, shield of faith. Guard your mind with the hope of salvation, the helmet. And wield the scriptures against lies, which is the sword of spirit. Again, if we neglect prayer, we're like a soldier going to battle but holding our breath. Prayer is the most important thing to go to spiritual battle. We must have it. We must be prepared. We must recognize it and stand firm. We have to respond with prayer and scripture rather than reacting in the flesh. He challenges us here in this passage, Ephesians, to make known the mystery of the gospel. We have to hold fast to the mystery doctrine. Here at Grace Bible Church, I feel very blessed that I was raised in a dispensational church to understand Scripture this way. But we are blessed to know the revelation of the mystery. But it's something that's far and few between, because to me, Satan knows it's the truth, and he knows how close we're getting. Therefore, it makes it that much harder to explain it and teach it and have people understand it. The Apostle Paul spent 3 years with Jesus Christ himself learning this. And you guys are learning it from me, so I apologize. But again, it's the most important thing. We live in times when, even within Christianity, the truth of Paul's distinct message are many times neglected and even opposed. There's many times that it's just pressure to preach the Gospels. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and preach what's written in red. Preach what Jesus Christ taught. But what the Apostle Paul received was a revelation that was revealed to him from Jesus Christ. And every single passage in the Word of God is as important. Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation is as important as the other passage. But you have to take it in context and understand who it's written to, what it's for, and what it's about. But there's going to be times that we get pushback. The other thing here, I don't think boldness does not mean brashness or a lack of love. Paul always said that we should speak the truth in love. We can be fearless and loving at the same time, because we care enough for the people to teach them the truth. So I don't want boldness to be on the street corners preaching and yelling and beating people with the word of God. It comes out in love. The boldness is speaking the truth in love and showing what that is. You You know, again, I want to go back and think of the Apostle Paul in Rome, in jail. Did God answer his plea for boldness? And to me, when you read Scripture, he absolutely did. Even as a prisoner, he had a remarkable, fruitful ministry. He wrote many epistles. He spoke to everyone that came to him. And it even says that many in Caesar's household believed what he was speaking. The gospel was not bound by where he was or where he was stuck. No matter where you're at in life, whether you're young or old, whether you're in church, not in church, wherever you're at, you can share the gospel. And I think that's what we learn from the Apostle Paul. The same God who empowered Paul is with us today. The same gospel, the same mystery truth has been entrusted to us. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:4. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. If you have put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary, this has become your responsibility now. Doesn't mean you have to understand every single thing of Scripture. Doesn't mean you have to understand all of it. If you can understand salvation, you've been entrusted with the gospel. Yes, I think there's more to it, and you need to continue to grow. You need to begin to understand the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the age of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God. But you've been entrusted with the gospel. We have our own sphere, we have our own influence, we have our own people, we have our own family, friends, community, where we can preach the gospel, we can share the gospel, we can tell others what Jesus Christ has done for us. The Apostle Paul ends here, 21 through 24, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. As the Apostle Paul closes this powerful letter, he turns from his bold request to a warm pastoral conclusion. He sends it to Tychicus, not just to deliver the letter, but to comfort your hearts. Even in the midst of spiritual warfare, comfort, peace, and love still come from Christ. Verse 23 says, peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the spirit we go forward in. Not striving in our own strength, but resting in his peace, walking in love and standing firm in faith. And he ends here, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our motivation. Sincere love for our Savior. And that's our enabling power, grace. The same grace that gave Paul boldness can give us boldness. We've seen the heart of the Apostle Paul through the book of Ephesians. His heart was not burdened by self-pity or fear, but burning with a desire to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ in the revelation of the mystery. We see how he valued prayer, evangelism, boldness. We need to take these truths to heart. The world is a spiritual dark place. The God of this world works to blind minds to the gospel. But God has given us the ability to share. So I challenge each and every one of us, including myself. Lord, enable us to open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Trusting in his strength, let us open our mouths. You know, we never have to worry that it's our job to have the outcome. If we share the Word of God and we show them the Word of God, some will believe and some won't. They're not rejecting us, they're rejecting God the Father. Paul gave his life for the gospel. He was able to say, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And I pray that each and every one of us can say that we fought the good fight of faith. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you for the Apostle Paul, that he was so adamant to share the mystery, Ephesians chapter 3, the dispensation of the grace of God, the mystery that was kept secret since the world began, that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And if Satan would have known that you, coming as a babe, being born of a Virgin Mary, Satan tried to get rid of you time and time again. And he thought by hanging you on that cross that he finally was victorious. If he would have understood that is the way that salvation was coming, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And that is what Scripture says. We had to keep this a secret. We had to reveal it to the Apostle Paul at the right time, at the right place. And here we are today. Just pray that each and every one of us can continue to study Scripture and understand the mystery of the gospel, but at the same point that you will give us the boldness to preach the truth. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.